Hallo en welkom bij aflevering 86 van de Earnings Show, waar het draait om hoe je online meer resultaat boekt voor jouw bedrijf, hoe je als ondernemer online gebruikt voor meer klanten en omzet. Mijn naam is Earnings en ik neem ondernemers met een team het werk uit handen voor online resultaat. Meer klanten en 50% meer omzet binnen een jaar. Vandaag het gesprek met Lorraine Hamilton. Zoals ze zeggen, een award-winning entrepreneur en een coach. Ze gebruikt sterke mindsetwerk gekoppeld aan bijzondere communicatie-inzichten om haar klanten op te laten vallen in de massa en op een authentieke manier. Zo lijkt het alsof de concurrentie als sneeuw voor de honden is verdwenen voor jou. Dit gesprek is in het Engels. Hij komt oorspronkelijk uit de Number One Coach with Show, maar die podcast is verdwenen. Nu deze aflevering die ik niet wilde missen in de Earnings Show. Veel plezier met het bijzondere gesprek met Lorraine.
Welkom in de Erno Hanning Show, de podcast waar je meer leert over de online kant van jouw coachingsbedrijf. Praktische tips die je helpen om vandaag jouw bedrijf online zichtbaar te maken.
Hallo Lorraine.
Hi Erno, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the Number One Coach Biz Podcast.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we're gonna see how we can give some great content to the listener, and you know, with the things that you know about, moving your business forward. The first question is always the same, and it's when you get to a networking event, mm-hmm. and people come up to you and they ask you, "What do? What do you say to them?"
I say to them that I help my clients stand out so uniquely and authentically that it's as if the competition has melted away. And that's usually a good conversation starter.
Yeah, especially the melted away. That's So they go like, so how do you do that?
Yeah, it's basically the next question is either, can I have your card? I really need you. Or how do you do that? So the way that I do that, if we're delving slightly into my process, is very much around, I start from a position of removing fear. So everyone that I work with, no matter whether they're starting out or whether they have been in business for a lot of years and they're a leader in their field, there's something stopping them from playing a bigger game. And it's always a fear or an obstacle. So we start by unpacking that. And then we look at what is the true value that this person offers to the person that they can solve a problem to. So there's a lot of self-worth when you provide a service and you are the consultant, you are the coach, you are the mentor. You tend to wrap your self-worth up in your earning potential, and I spend a lot of time working with clients on unhooking the two and working on where we're going to position, where they want to play in their market and who they want to work with. And in order to do that, we really need to disconnect self-worth with pricing. So we do that. And then until after we've done all of that work, that's when we start looking at messaging and how to communicate that value in a way that is going to attract those clients and opportunities that my clients are seeking to find.
Disconnect self-worth and pricing.
Yeah.
Does that mean that in general, after this process, the pricing goes up?
In general, it does. It could go down. It really depends on your reach and who and your mission and what it is that you want to do. If you have a massive reach, then you can afford to price a little lower. But what I find is that when we step into an entrepreneurial mindset, we start climbing the ladder again, which isn't necessary because you can choose who you want to serve. So I kind of liken it to a multi-story building when I'm trying to explain this concept. That if you have, and at the bottom of the bottom floors of the multi-story building are loads and loads of people who love what you do. They're in your target market. They really want to work with you, but they can or are only able to invest a small amount of money. And in the middle floors of this multi-story building, it's filled with people who are in your target market, who love what you do, but they can afford to pay a little bit more to have that problem solved. And then the upper floors of the multi-story building are filled with people who love what you do, who really need your help, and they are willing to pay anything to work with you and have their problem solved really quickly. So depending on your reach and how many people you have in your tribe, that really determines your pricing structure. If you're just starting out and you don't have a huge following, it actually makes much more sense to play in the higher levels of the building. If you've got huge reach already, maybe you're a blogger and you've been building a following for quite some time, maybe you have a huge pool that you can play in, and that actually allows you to reach more people at a lower price point. And it depends on who you want to work with. I work with clients who really just want to help as many people as possible, and then there are other ones who really want to work with one-to-one clients at a high level, but just work with a few of them. And it's just about recognizing that it's a choice and that each message is slightly different, and we tailor it to that market.
The thing that I see is that a lot of coaches, like you said, want to help a lot of people.
Yes.
And they have a feeling it's the other way around. Than what you just described. They think, okay, when I start, I need to price low because I don't have enough knowledge. I'm just new in the market. I cannot ask these high prices. And they believe when they will go bigger. I also see that I have some people as guests in the show. They talked about how their pricing went up in the years because the demand changed. And when the demand changed, they just increased the pricing. And that made it better for them. So you are like telling me that it is better when you are starting to just go for the high-priced clients.
One-to-one clients, if you're working one-to-one, then I think you have to have a premium offer from the start. So I did a bit of research about this earlier this year. I know I wrote an article. I'd been invited to write an article for Inspired Coach magazine, and they wanted me to look at the difference between what we would determine very successful coaches and the struggles of entry-level coaches. So I started looking at different coaches, what they were offering and their pricing structure and what made them different. And to be honest, the information and the coaching abilities were not vastly different. They certainly did not line up with the difference in pricing that I looked at. So talking from your entry-level coach who's charging $50 to $100 a session right through to those people who are running masterminds for $100,000. The actual information is not that different. What is different, though, is the investment that the client is making, and therefore the action that they take is different. So if you've got a client who's only investing $50 a session, this is a sweeping generalization, but in a general sense, they're less invested in their own results. Therefore, it's harder to get great results than those people who are demanding more of their clients to come to the party, and therefore they're more invested in getting their own results, and so they take more action, and then the coach ends up with great testimonials and results to share, which builds their credibility as a results getter.
Yeah, I can see that. When I looked at your profiles and your website, one thing came up for me, and it was intuition. How does that play a role for you? What does intuition do in your business?
This is really funny because I just did a blab about this yesterday. So it comes up very differently for me depending on what I'm doing. If I'm working with clients, my intuition is the toddler that is pulling on my skirt and needing attention. When I'm working with someone, they'll say something that really hits my intuition and I know that I need to go further down that path. And I think as coaches, we all have that. It's just about how it shows up for us. Yet my intuition in my business and the actions that I take in my business and the decisions that I make, they show up in a very different way. So I have this sense of calm. I could be doing something really exciting and new and different, and it could even have a little bit of fear involved in that. But there will be an underlying sense of calm that my gut will be telling me this is the right path. So intuition does play a big role, and it's something that's probably I've tapped into more in that sense of me making business decisions for myself this year, and it has taken a lot of pressure off, and I've seen a lot more results from my action by listening to my intuition and listening to my gut and helping and using that to navigate my own path in business. And that's been really satisfying, because now I have that deep trust in myself that I know what's right for me. And that's what I try and instill in my clients, so that they can lose all of that imposter syndrome and stuff, because they know that they have a well inside of them and their own intuition that they can tap into and help them navigate their own path.
So removing the fear, it sounds like it has a lot to do with intuition. And this is one first part that you work on with your clients. How long does it in general take before you move to the next step with them?
Oh, that's a good question. Obviously, everyone's different. And when you're working, because I work one-to-one with my clients, I don't like to work in a group setting at this point. I like to be able to give them that attention. So it really does depend on what they give me. I'm thinking of a particular example where I was working with a coach on business coaching, but we ended up, after about 6 sessions, we had done a lot of mindset work, we've done a lot of action taking, but she still had this block. And we were talking about this block, and there was just something that she said to me, which was, you know, part of me wants to do this and part of me knows rationally that this is not a problem, but I still hold on to this obstacle, I still hold on to this block. And that was my cue, I suppose, to realize, okay, this is a parts integration opportunity, and there's a model in NLP that I can use here, and then we could clear that block in a matter of a few minutes. But it's waiting for those cues from your client. So if they're really tuned into what their challenge is, it makes the process that much faster. If I have to unpack layers of conditioning and belief systems, obviously it takes a little longer. So that's a really good question. I hadn't actually thought of how long it takes on a general scale. I guess it's just asking the right questions to get there as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, do you offer packages, or is it, you know, do you charge per session? How do you work with the clients on when they want to work with you?
Sure. So I like to work on a program basis. So I have an 8-week program, which is how I prefer to work with clients. That would consist of a portion of online content that they can access at any time, so it's not drip fed. They get access to everything so that they can work at their own pace. And then we have 6 coaching sessions over 8 weeks at a time to suit them, so it doesn't need to be regular. They make the best of those coaching sessions, and those are the ones that we will use to implement the work that we've been doing on the online content. So I try to keep things as flexible as I can. It's not just about giving a whole load of information. I think we all have enough information. It's more about applying that. But also, I recognise that my clients are busy people. They want to get results quickly. And the best way that I've found working with them is to give them that flexibility of, you know, let's make an appointment when you need it. And let's move you through when you need it. So you're not just waiting for a fortnightly appointment or a weekly appointment.
I gotta cut this out because I forgot the question. Because it was, I'm listening to you, and at the same time, I want to go into that, but I forgot.
That's okay.
Yeah. So I've visited your profiles before we talked, of course, and I've noticed that in your Facebook page and also on your Twitter stream, you mentioned you won something.
Yes, I am quite humbled for this. I won an award last week for Heart and Hustle. It's the Heart and Hustle Award from the Conquer Club. The Conquer Club is a global business incubator that I've been involved with this past year. There's just over 300 members. It's run by our leader is Natalie McNeil, and it's one of the most interesting mastermind programs that I've been involved in. And the awards process was nominated by those members and voted on by the members of the Conquer Club. And I think that's what makes it so special to me, because we get our testimonials from our clients, and our clients love us, and it's great. And, you know, it's great feedback and great information to have. But to be nominated and be recognised by your peers is something that I've found to be incredibly special. And that's what this award is recognising. And it's really recognising the steps that I've taken this year to step out of consuming information and actually putting that into action myself and doing what's necessary to build my business without compromising my own integrity. So, yeah, I'm quite chuffed and a little bit humbled by the recognition.
And because the award is called For Heart and Hustle, Is that really what it means, that you are working hard and hustle a lot, or is it something else?
I don't know if it's about working hard. Actually, I've found easier ways, and this year was the year that I gave up the push, because it just doesn't work for me. I worked with a coach for a number of weeks this year on just, again, tapping into that intuition that we've already spoken about, Erna, but also taking my foot off the gas and recognising that push, self-promotion just doesn't work for me. It's not the space that I'm comfortable in, and that comes across. So where I am stronger is being in a position where I can respond to situations that present themselves. So being in a position to help others and build my visibility through saying things that are true for me, rather than following a blueprint or doing a traditional, you know, posting 10 times a day in Facebook and doing all these crazy launches. It doesn't work for me. So hustle doesn't necessarily mean working hard. It means doing the things that will propel you and your business with you staying in your truth.
Hmm. I'm always I'm looking for the right English word and I cannot find it, but you know, in between, I listen to people like Sean D'Souza, who is also from New Zealand, because you are in New Zealand, James Shremko, who's from Australia, and for example, Gary Vaynerchuk, who's in the US, where the other two, you know, they promote a more relaxed kind of living, taking time for yourself and re-energize on things like serving or walking. And the other one is, you know, he's always talking about hard working hustle and you know, I will be always outwork you. And that, you know, he doesn't mean it in a bad way. I see both points. And I think, you know, it is on one side, you live and you have to take care of your time for yourself, of your family. But at the same time, it's also if you, you know, you, clients come to you, you can help more clients, you are ambitious, you want to grow. And so the one thing that you want to do is work harder. So it's always, for me, at least, it's always a struggle.
I can see that there's, you know, there's two sides to it. But the more that work that I've done on myself this year and understanding that what's right for me, it doesn't need to be what's right for other people. So I greatly admire some of the mentors that I'm aware of who are, you know, that traditional hustler. They're just working so hard. And they have a constant source of energy for that because they're doing work that they love. And that's fantastic. And they are on their path and they're going at their pace. But I can't keep up with that and it's not where I'm at my best. So, and there are people who want to do less than me. So I guess it's, I need to do a little bit of editing for me. But I've embraced this concept of human design this year, which is something that a coach called Carol I'm getting right. A message from Skype.
Yeah, right. We lost you. What I did hear was you said, I embraced human design, and then you wanted to talk about the coach. Well, you did probably, but I didn't hear it.
So okay.
To start there again.
Okay, so I was introduced to this concept of human design by a woman called Caroline Southwell, who you can find at carolinesouthwell.com. And she, as I say, introduced me to this concept that there are different types of people who work in a certain way to get the best results. And the vast majority of us actually are in this responding category, that we work better as team players, that we work better when we have something to respond to rather than creating things and being leaders. In fact, there's only, I think, 20% of the population who have this human design type of being, a manifester, someone who creates things all the time. And that really resonated with me. And I, you know, I'm certainly not an expert. I don't know the ins and outs of all the different modalities that come together to form human design, which is why you should talk to an expert and not me. But it definitely piqued my interest and it made me look a little deeper into it. And I recognized that, yes, I fall into this category of not being someone who pushes naturally. And that's not to say that that's the only way, because there is a human design type and there are people who are incredibly comfortable, incredibly successful, and they have this constant energy source for the work that they love. And I find that when I'm doing work that I love, I have a lot more energy than if I'm doing something that I don't want to be doing. So to back to your point when you explained the two coaches versus the other coach, I can absolutely see that it's a spectrum, and the quicker you find your spot in the spectrum and can be comfortable with that and stop beating yourself up because you're not creating at the same pace as some of the other people around you, and just concentrate on what you're doing and trust that you're doing the right thing for you, tapping into your intuition, getting some good results from doing that, then that has just made my whole year flow so much easier.
And do you think that that is partly why you won the prize?
It's in part. It's the other things I've been reflecting quite a lot on have been stopping listening to all the information. So I guess that falls back into what I was just saying is, you know, trusting my own truth, standing up for what I believe in, which is not always what's being touted online as being the right way, and taking action, you know, really taking the small actions, making the calls, asking for the collaborations, submitting the articles, and just taking those small actions, and they do build up into something great over time, but it doesn't have to be intimidating.
I agree, and I think that we talked about it a little bit before the call. It was what we see, and you were talking about that you experienced yourself, but I also see it a lot, and I just written a post about it and got a lot of response on it too. A lot of people, they gather information, they follow courses, they follow webinars, they follow programs, and it feels like they are endlessly searching for more information as a way of like procrastination of doing the thing that they need to do. And at the same time, you know, I feel it's time for action. So I think that it's important that, like you said, you know, stop following all these programs and, you know, and get back into what you are meant to do and take action towards those, what drives you, what will, you know, make you do the things that you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really passionate about that topic. In fact, I think I called it in something that I wrote earlier this year and just said, look, the information age is dead. It was a great little time, but it's done. We're in information overload now. And what I'm seeing is that people no longer want to be left to do it by themselves. They want somebody to help them implement what they already know.
Yeah. Okay, so if you have, because we're finishing up our conversation and have two more questions, if you have one tip for the coach that's listening right now that they can implement, you know, like we just said, not more information, but something that they could start implementing right away that could help their business move forward.
It would be to take all of that investment that you are buying, the next program and the next program and the next program, save that money and hire somebody who can help you implement it if you're having trouble with that, or the time that you're using to consume that information, use that to actually do something because you know what it is that you need to do. And it might be scary, but taking that action is going to give you the feedback to know what the next step is.
Wow. That's a great tip. Thank you for that. Who do you want to hear in this podcast?
Who do I want to hear in this podcast? I would like to hear from Nancy Marmolejo.
Nancy?
Mm-hmm. Marmolejo.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you to give me that in your email so I can put it in the show notes.
Sure. And who else? Very inspired by just now. Kevin Nations.
Oh wow. That's gonna be interesting. I'll do my best to get them on the show. Lorraine, thank you very much for your insights in how to used your instinct, your gut more, letting, you know, being more loose on all these blueprints and programs and everything, to follow, you know, to follow your path in doing this, and specifically what you said, you know, implementation time, it is now. So use the time or the money that you've invested in all these programs now to hire someone to do the work for you if you can't do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It is your time. And, you know, it's a great feeling when you do it.
Thank you very much, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Dat was het mooie gesprek met Lorraine. Je vindt de namen en links die Lorraine noemde in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga ervoor naar ernohanning.nl/show86. Ah, wil je automatisch horen wanneer er een volgende aflevering is? Abonneer dan via bijvoorbeeld iTunes. Ga ervoor naar iTunes, zoek op de Ernohanning Show en klik op abonneer. Oh, en als je daar toch bent, klik ook even op 5 sterren bij een recensie of beoordeling. Vul even in waarom je dit een mooie show vindt en je helpt mij, maar vooral andere ondernemers, om deze podcast te vinden. Heb je vragen over deze aflevering met Lorraine of over iets anders van de podcast? Stuur dan een e-mail naar podcast@ernohanning.nl en ik lees deze mail persoonlijk. Ik hoor graag van jou. Ben jij teleurgesteld in het resultaat van jouw online acties voor jouw bedrijf? Heb je het gevoel dat je kansen mist, dat de concurrentie voorbij gaat? Doe de online resultaatanalyse en leer hoe jouw bedrijf online meer klanten in omzet krijgt. Vraag nu jouw analyse aan en je moet hem nu reserveren, want er is een wachtlijst. Maar doe dat, want dan weet je wanneer de volgende plek vrijkomt en de agenda loopt dat vrij snel vol. Ga daarvoor naar onlineresultaatanalyse.nl. Ik zie je graag in de volgende aflevering.
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar de Erno Hanning Show op ernohanning.nl.